Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. In this hour, horror. Later on, we hear Charles Laughton and June Havoc in suspense. But right now, it's the Arch Obler story, The Projective Mr. Drogon, on Lights Out. The CBS broadcast first heard on January 26th, 1943.
Lights out, everybody. It is later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. If you don't mind, I'm not going to tell you anything about the story we're going to do in a few minutes. Neither the title, nor anything about the characters, nor even the usual remark about any similarity of this story to real events and actual people occurring, so on and so forth. Nope. We're just going to tell you a strange story.
Hello? Hello, police headquarters, police department. My name is Charles Krager. Dr. Charles Krager. I live at 872 West Street, apartment 2B. I want you to come and get me. I've just killed a man. Jay Drogon. Did you hear me? I said, come and get me. I just killed a man. His name was...
Take it easy, will you?
No, I'm willing to bet on it. I'm willing to... I'm telling you, sure, as my name is Jay Drogon, I'm going to drink this.
Jay, forget it, will you? You better lie down and get some rest.
Let me alone. Take your hands off me. I said I was going to drink this mess, and I'm going to drink it. Right out of the cocktail sticker.
He's really drinking it.
Holy cat, look at him.
Oh, boy. Oh, that was terrific.
How did it taste?
Wonderful.
Jay!
He's sick.
No, I'm all right. Hot in here. Window open.
The windows? Who broke all the windows?
Hit. Oh, what time? 9. I've got to get up. Get to work. Oh. Huh? All dressed. Bed in my clothes. Put me to bed. Oh, doesn't matter. Oh, all right. All right. Hello, Jay Drogon speaking.
Who?
Oh, yeah. Hello, friend. Sure, I'm coming down to the office. Party? All right. A man got to have some fun once in a while, can't he? I got to wash up. All right, I'll be down here. Goodbye. Son of a... Where's my hat? Well, what? Windows broken? Some party. Tell superintendent get windows fixed. Wonder what... Oh, well. Better get to the office. Good thing building has an elevator. Couldn't walk downstairs.
Good morning, then, Mr. Drogon.
Oh, hello, Mr. Jensen.
And
what the devil's the matter with this elevator? I've been punching this button for 5 minutes.
Well, it takes time for it to come down when it's up on the top floor.
It's always going wrong, that elevator. I wish that blasted thing would fall through the basement.
Hey, it's falling...
It fell. Just like you said.
Oh, then, Drogon, sit down. Sit down.
Thank you, Doctor. It was good of you to see me without an appointment.
Well, you seem to be in quite a state. What is it?
It's my head.
You injured it?
No, I don't think so. You see, I had a little party at my house last night. Oh, my head.
Well, never mind. Well, this certainly is the morning after the night before. Go over to the window and let me look at you.
Yes, Doctor. It's my head, Doctor. Every sound...
It's just the morning after.
But every sound... That blasted airplane up there, it's so loud in my head,
no,
Doctor.
No, don't get excited.
Why does that infernal pilot have to fly so low? Blast you up there, why don't you crack up?
Look. He's falling.
Falling.
What you said, Drogon, really happened. All right, Drogon, we better be moving on.
Yeah.
You come back to my office, and I'll give you a sedative, and you lie down and rest a little while, and then you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Coincidences. That's nothing. That's all it was. Nothing more. But watch out, man. Watch out where you're walking.
It's okay. Mm. Now we can cross. Hey, you! How do you like that guy? Blasted cabs, they think they own the street. If I had my way, I'd smash them all up. Doc! Doc!
It's happened again. Drink this.
No.
I tell you, drink this.
I don't want to.
It isn't what you want to do. It's a sedative. Now, drink it.
Putting me to sleep for a little while is no help.
Last night. Think about last night. Perhaps you, drank something out of the ordinary.
Huh?
Well, why do you look at me like that?
I did.
What?
That drink, I just remember.
Tell me.
But that couldn't be it.
Tell me.
Well, we got a kidding about who could mix the most unusual drinks, and I was feeling high, and I mixed one.
Well, what was in the drink?
I don't know.
Well, you must know. If I knew what was in the drink, perhaps some chemical... wait a minute. Where do you think you're going?
To the office.
Well, what...
Fred, my business. I've got to...
No. You're completely out of your head. You're a menace, a walking danger. Don't you realize that you can't go out of here until we figure this out, some way to stop it? If you don't, every time you say a negative thought, it'll happen and someone will die. Do you want that? What's the matter with you? Why should you laugh? Stop it. Stop it.
Well, it's funny. I go to see my doctor because I'm going out of my head, and he goes out of his head.
But what happened to you that all of a sudden you should...
I heard you said that I was a menace. When you said that, all at once, everything cleared up.
What?
Yeah. Me, a menace. That's the funniest thing anybody ever said about me. Look at me. No hair, half my teeth aren't my own. I've cut a pot belly, and I'm a menace. Yeah, you, a doctor who's supposed to judge things only by facts, suddenly decide I'm a menace. Why? Because three screwy things happened that I had nothing to do with. That I had nothing to do with. Coincidences. Like getting four aces two times running, or rolling 7 25 times in a row, or anything else where two and two doesn't add up to four. That elevator would have fallen anyway, and that plane, so his motor cut out just when I said it. And the cabs, we were both so scared that we ran off without finding out whether or not there was a good reason why three cabs smashed up. Sure, cabs have accidents all the time. So, well, does that make me a menace? I ask you, is that the way for a doctor to talk?
I'm sorry. Of course you're right. I've been talking like an emotional moron. Funny, isn't it? I'm the man who has always evaluated situations through factual evidence. And even then, I've retained some measure of skepticism because I know how misleading human observation can be. Drogon, would you mind shaking hands with a blasted fool?
Sure, Doc. And you're shaking hands with one, too.
Now, if you don't mind, can I use your telephone?
Sure. Of course, of course.
Got to call my office, explain why I'm late. Oh, it's had me scared for a while. Hello. Hello, that you, Fred? Yes, I'm on my way in. But I tell you, I'll be there in a few minutes. But I'm telling you. I know, but I'm coming. Oh, stop yelling at me. Why don't you drop dead? Fred. Hey, Fred.
What's the matter?
What's the matter?
Why, I don't know. One minute I was talking to him, and then... Fred, answer me. No, it can't be. You're lying. Hello?
Grogan. What is it? Tell me. Someone said... Fred just dropped dead.
What time is it, Doctor?
1.
I can't just sit here.
No. You're my responsibility. I've got to think something out.
I just can't keep on not thinking anything.
Great Godfrey.
What?
What's the matter with me? You can perform miracles. I'm convinced of that. All right. Then why in the name of common sense can't you perform positive miracles instead of negative ones?
I don't understand.
Listen to me. It's simple. It's so simple that neither one of us thought of it. Just as you can kill people and cause accidents, why can't you do good?
Good?
Yes, good. Heal the sick. Give eyes to the blind. But when it comes to killing, kill the ones who should be killed.
That's right. Maybe I could do that.
Hitler, Hirohito, Mussolini. Why, you could wipe out the whole Nazi army by just saying so.
Yeah, but how would we know?
No, wait a minute. It's all clear now. Every miracle that you performed today was a negative miracle. The falling elevator, the airplane, the taxis, your friend. Everything negative. You haven't performed a single positive miracle. Not a miracle for good instead of evil.
Well,
come with me.
Where?
Out in the street again. Come on, Drogan. We've got to find out if you can perform a good miracle just as easily as performing the other kind. And if you can, well, you'll start making history in a few minutes, Mr. Drogan.
Now, Drogan, now.
What? On the corner, the newsman. He's blind.
Well,
don't be stupid. We'll go over to him.
Faber? Faber, get your paper.
Hello, Tom.
That you, Doctor?
Yes, give me a magazine. Well, anyone will do.
Yes, sir.
Wish it, Drogan. Wish that he could see.
I am.
Hey, Doctor. How have you been?
Oh, never mind about me. How about you?
Huh?
How about your eyes?
Are you kidding?
Drogan, out loud. You've got to say it out loud.
Hey, Doc, what's the matter?
Say it.
I wish that he could see.
Hey, what's going on here?
Tom, you see. You do see.
What's the matter with you, Doc?
You can see.
Let me alone, will you? What are you trying to do? What are you after?
Can you see?
Oh, I can't see. Get the devil away from here. I can't see.
All right, Drogan. Come on.
Yeah. What does it mean?
Whatever you want to do that's good doesn't happen. But whatever you say that's evil happens. God help you, Drogan. Well, have a good sleep, friend Drogan?
Yeah. Why did I fall asleep?
A sedative I gave you.
Oh.
Drogan, I want you to meet my wife.
How do you do?
Oh, well, it's a pleasure, Mrs. Crager.
Yeah. Let me give you a hand.
No. I'm all right.
Yeah, of course. Drogan, I've told the entire story to my wife. She's clear-headed about this. I'll let her tell you what she thinks. Go ahead, Anne.
Mr. Drogan, Charles thinks you're a menace to humanity. I don't think so. I think the danger to others is not through you, but through somebody else. You don't know what I mean. Well, That's understandable. I mean, you wouldn't willfully hurt anyone. But what if someone forced you to? What if your ability to perform miracles...
Evil miracles?
Yes, evil miracles, was discovered by some criminal. He would force you to do what he wanted, at no risk to himself, because since the criminal was performing an evil act, you couldn't hurt him.
In other words, Drogon, someone could use you for criminal purposes. Yes, blackmail the world because you thought he could kill anyone in the world.
You haven't said anything, Mr. Drogon. You do understand?
Yes, I understand. What do you expect me to do about it?
We don't expect you to do anything. The responsibility is beyond you or us. Whatever happens is up to the proper authorities.
Authorities?
What we must do is to tell the authorities of what happened.
It's a wonderful idea.
What did you say?
It's a wonderful idea.
Charles, I told you he'd understand.
Drogon, I'm proud of you.
Thank God it happened to a man like you instead of another little fascist who'd imagine himself a super Hitler.
A wonderful idea.
Yes, of course, but why do you keep on saying that?
You gave me a wonderful idea.
Thank you, but that's not important now. We've got to go to the authorities. All of us.
No.
Why should you say no?
I'm not going anywhere. Neither are you.
What?
Charles, why should he say...
Wait. What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm not going any place, or you.
What do you mean?
Sit down.
What the devil for?
Sit down.
Now, I don't see what...
Doctor, I let you talk. Now, let me. In my own way, I figured out the world a long time ago. And that's why I was satisfied. Now, you see, it's like this. Some people are born with more than other people. One man has more brains, so he's an Einstein. Another fellow's born with good looks, so he's a movie star like that Taylor fellow. Another has muscles that work better, so he's a Joe Louis. Another one's got more energy, so he's an Edison. Most people are born with just enough brains and muscles to get along in a plain, ordinary life like me. I knew that. So, I was satisfied. Then this happened to me. All at once, all I've got to do is say something, and then it happens. Not good things, we found that out, but whatever I say that's wrong happens. I can do what anybody else in the world would like to do, but can't do. No army or navy or air force. I can say that somebody should die or that something should burn or break or fall, and it happens. You know, at first it was the same for me as for you, Doctor. I couldn't believe it was really so. Then while I was lying here, I heard you and your wife talking, and I began to figure things out. And then you both gave me the real idea. Dempsey and Joe Louis and Tunney and those fellows who had better muscles made themselves millions. So did Edison and Ford and Chrysler and the rest of them who had brains. Now, I had something. Why shouldn't I get paid off, too?
Paid off?
That's right.
How?
You said it before.
What?
I think you call it blackmail.
Charles!
The way you both look at me, you'd think I'd said something you hadn't said before yourself. Anybody that's any good to the world, I can kill. All right. There's people get paid off in this world for not letting other people starve, so I'll get paid off for not making people die.
That's a pretty bad joke.
Joke? No.
Of course you're joking.
No.
You don't mean that.
Sit down, Doctor. Doctor, I said for you to sit down.
Don't you order me around. Now stop this nonsense and...
Oh. I brought you some tea, Mrs. Crager.
Thank you, Frederick. Just put the tray
down. Wait a minute. Take that tray out of here. Go ahead, take it out.
But I take orders only from Mrs. Crager.
Is that so? Well, why don't you die? He's dead, isn't he, Doctor?
Yes.
So you see, it isn't nonsense.
You devil, you!
Well, up to now, it's always been plain Sam.
I never thought that you...
That's just it. You should never underestimate a little man, now should you?
Charles, do you hear me? Call the police.
He hears you, but he won't do anything about it, will
Charles,
you,
Charles, don't just sit there. This man is a murderer. He killed
Doctor,
Frederick.
Doctor, your wife is talking a little too much, isn't she?
Why do you sit there? Won't you please?
Doctor, do you hear me? I suggest you tell your wife to shut her mouth.
Charles!
Or maybe you'd like me to say something to her. The words I said about the servant. Suppose I said, Mrs. Crager, I wish you...
Stop!
Will
you please do something about this? And stop it. Stop. You hear me? Stop. Now, it'll be all right, dear. It'll be all right.
Of course it will. As long as we're sensible about this. Now then, what is my plan? Well, very simply this. You and your wife are going to help me get everything in the world that I want. Yes, everything. What I tell you to do, you will do. Letters. I will decide on three influential gentlemen in our government, three wealthy gentlemen in industry to whom you will send letters explaining about me. Now, they won't believe, but at the time I tell them to, they'll die, and the newspapers will know about it. And after that, everyone will believe me now, won't they? And so as not to die, everyone will do exactly as I want, won't they? Because they won't have any choice in the matter. They send soldiers against me. I'll wish that they'll be dead, and they will be dead. And soon from Washington to London to Moscow, everyone will be doing exactly what Sam Drogon wants them to do. And that'll be wonderful, won't it? All the good people of the world doing exactly what one little man wants them to do. Well, you haven't said anything, Doctor. You understand what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes. It was inevitable.
Of course, I won't want you and your wife to leave here. Now then, we'd better have this man's body removed, and then we'd better get to work. Or have you any suggestions?
Do you mind if I have a drink?
Drink? Not at all. Not at all. A drink started all this, didn't it? Go right ahead, Doctor.
Thank you.
And you, Mrs. Crager, you're quite all right now, aren't you? Yes, I'm sure you are, the way you sit there looking at me. You and your husband will do exactly as I say because you're both good people and I'm deaf to good people. And you know that now, don't you?
Yes, I'm sure my wife knows that. Your drink.
Oh, yes. Oh, and quite a full one. Thank you, Doctor. I drink to your continued good health. Well, a strong one and a good one. Thank you, Doctor. I what? Drink? Oh, my throat. You put? No, wouldn't dare. I'll kill.
Charles, what did you?
Kill.
Charles, he's going to.
Wait.
I wish you
John.
Both were.
Charles, you killed.
Yes. Poison worked more slowly than should have, but it worked. Drogon. You made one mistake. You should never underestimate what good people can do. If they have to.
Lights Out on Tuned to Yesterday from January 26th, 1943 on CBS. You're listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. We now move on to radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. This broadcast marks the fifth for the 1949 season on CBS from September 29th of that year. The main director of the show was William Spear, who had been on his honeymoon for the first four broadcasts of the season with new wife June Havoc, who stars next alongside movie actor Charles Laughton in the E. Jack Newman story, Blind Date.
Suspense. Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present tonight two stars, Mr. Charles Laughton and Miss June Havoc, in Blind Date, a suspense play produced and edited by William Spear.
Say, Hap, have you heard the one about the car that lost its head in a clutch, got its block knocked off, and hasn't had a brake since?
Slow down, Harlow. That story won't hold water.
Well, maybe not, but here's one that will. The story of the Autolite Stay Full Battery. The battery that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use. Autolite Stay Full Batteries, with their greater liquid reserve, help to eliminate one of the major causes of battery failure.
Still more, Harlow?
I'll say, Hap. Autolite Stay Full Batteries have extra protection with fiberglass retaining mats for longer life. Why, in tests conducted according to SAE life cycle standards, Autolite Stay Full Batteries give 70% longer average life than batteries without the Stay Full features. So, folks, get an Autolite Stay Full Battery. And remember, you're always right with Autolite. Oh, and a reminder, Suspense on television may be seen in many parts of the country every Tuesday night.
And now, with Blind Date and with the performances of Charles Laughton and June Havoc, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
The DeMarcos and Mamie had said goodbye. That left me alone backstage. I'm always late anyway. 8 acts on the bill, and I'm always the last to leave the theater. Say, just what do you mean coming into a lady's dressing room without knocking?
Hi, cutie.
I never heard of a call boy who didn't know how to say, are you decent?
Oh, relax, relax. Take it easy. We can't all be double-jointed.
All right, what do you want?
He's outside.
Who is outside?
Some John you won't like says he's got a date with you. Oh, baby, you're closing tonight. Tomorrow you'll be in far-off Detroit. Then you'll wish you'd done the loop with me once. Come on, let you and me do our own circuit tonight.
I have a date, thank you.
Oh.
Now, will you go out and tell him to come in, if you please?
You can do better than him.
Yeah?
Yeah. Me.
Oh,
you know, you got real talent, honey. You need somebody to watch out for you. In the profession, I mean. Now, what's a cute little trick like you taking fourth billing to a lot of hoofers?
Look, you stick to your call.
Yeah? Oh, Gloria, baby, this is your last night.
And I told you before, I don't like to be touched by you or anybody else.
Hey, I'm beginning to think you mean it.
Get out of here.
Okay, okay. Your stage door, Johnny, ain't going to be no improvement. Believe me.
The idea, the very idea. Doggone it, where did I put that?
I believe I'm on time. The clock on the Wrigley Tower has just struck 11. I'm Vincent Hawthorne.
Oh, yes,
I'm... He walks in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies.
Huh? Come again?
Not what you expected, of course.
Well, won't you come in, Mr.
Hawthorne.
Here, let me take your hat, Mr. Hawthorne.
You.
I'll only be a minute. I'm leaving Chicago. Closed tonight, you know. Detroit tomorrow. I was elated, packing and all. I'm not quite dressed. That's props, anyway.
A theatrical trunk. This is a big thrill to me. Gloria LaFay. Theater. Rush. Gloria LaFay. Trends in bends.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, this is my first experience in meeting an artist.
Well, really?
Gloria. It's a lovely name, Gloria. It fits you. You're a very lovely girl. Well, she had a woman's mouth with all its pearls complete. And for her eyes, what could such eyes do there but weep and weep that they were born so fair?
Huh? Well, it's something of your own.
Oh, I only wish it were. That's a narrative poem of Keats about a woman who turned into a serpent.
Well, gee, that's a cheerful little earful, I must say. And what do you got there?
That's a flower, a rose for you, here.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, I like roses.
I thought it'd look nice in your hair, Gloria.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks. Thanks a lot. That's real nice.
For your hair, yes.
Thanks.
And this. Now, this is something for both of us.
Is that whiskey?
No, hardly. It's wine. It's Chablis. It has a fine bouquet. Should lend a note of cheer to our little dressing room. Hmm? And 2 glasses. See, I thought of everything. Fine wine should always be sipped from crystal, don't you think?
I plan on going out.
Oh, yes, certainly, but I thought...
Be a minute. I'll finish dressing behind the screen. Mr. Hawthorne.
Oh, yes?
What's your first name?
Vincent, my dear.
Oh, say, Vincent.
Oh, thank you.
Vincent, just so we get everything clear on both sides, it's a funny situation, you see, because I don't quite know...
Are you concerned because we are having what is called a blind date?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you read my mind. I just wanted it to be understood on both sides that I am not in the habit.
Of course not.
But lately, I've been thinking that, after all, how is an artiste like myself who spent practically all her life training for a profession and then finally goes out on the road since vaudeville's coming back now, you know. How's she ever going to meet people? Yeah. You get the point?
Certainly. Of course, I understand that completely. We'll just have our little midnight supper.
I was coming to that. When I was a little girl... Say, by the way, did you ever catch an act called Diane?
Diane? I'm not positive.
Well, you'd hardly have forgotten her if you had. Diane was my mother.
Oh, indeed. She was an...
An acrobatic dancer. Yeah. It's almost entirely her act that I'm doing.
Really?
Well, when we were playing Chicago once, when I was a little girl, we went to a little restaurant off the Gold Coast, which enjoyed largely theatrical clientele. Mm. It's called Gregory's. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd go there. Are you game, Mr. Hawthorne?
It sounds delightful. you say that your mother is dead?
Yes. Diane died 3 months ago.
I'm terribly, terribly sorry, my dear.
Well, thanks. I'm sorry. They say the food...
You were very close to your mother, weren't you? She was an artiste, too. And she taught you how to accomplish all of those remarkable feats that you've been performing on the stage.
Diane taught me everything I know.
It's really remarkable what you do at the end of your act, when you stand on that chair and bend all the way back so slowly and then... Take the goblet of wine with your teeth and drink it.
Well, thank you. I've worked hard. Of course, either you are double-jointed or you're not.
Of course. What did she die of?
You might say that when vaudeville began to die, mother began to die, too. It wasn't the money, but with radio. And you see, you have to see a dancer and the radio...
In view of those circumstances, you could almost say that your mother was murdered. I was born in London.
London? We were thinking about playing Australia once.
London is a great many miles from Australia, Gloria.
Gee, I'd sure like to get over to London. They say Australia's great.
London is a very lonely place.
Palladium, I'll bet that's the biggest.
It's full of lonely people.
Oh, say, let's not...
The world is full of lonely people, Gloria. In your short lifetime, has that fact come to your attention?
Well, really, that kind of talk can ruin an evening. If you're going to talk like that, I don't know about us. Well, here we... Hey, what are you doing? Put away that knife.
I'm just opening our bottle, Gloria.
Oh, I told you, I don't want to drink here. I want to go to Gregory's. Come on. Come on, let's put the show on the road.
Well, here's one for the road. A little glass of wine will do us both good.
No. I don't like the looks of that knife. Nobody needs a knife that big to open a bottle with.
This is a trick knife, see? You press a little button and the knife's gone, just like that. It disappears into the handle.
Well, I don't like it. People get hurt with knives.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong about that. People get... A knife's a very handy instrument.
Oh.
A good knife is hard to find. A good knife is a friend, Gloria. The only friend you can depend on sometimes. They say steel is cold, but it's really warm. It's warm as the human body.
Well, just for your information, I don't like your knife, and while we're at it, I don't think I like you either.
I'm very sorry, Gloria. I'm sorry that my knife frightened you.
I don't know. I think maybe you'd better go, and
please, Gloria, don't be angry with me. I'm most anxious to take you to Gregory's, where you once went with your mother many, many years ago.
I don't know. I think...
We have something that you didn't have at that time, champagne.
Well,
a quiet corner by candlelight, there'll be music.
See, what does a girl do when she draws a gentleman like you, huh?
Why, she has a little glass of wine to celebrate. good, here we go.
You haven't said anything about my dress.
It's one for you.
Thanks.
One for me.
All right. Here's to a pleasant evening, Vincent.
No, Gloria. Here's to us.
Well, okay, then. Here's to us.
Ah, yeah, that's a little better.
That's nice. Vincent, I'd like to ask you a personal question.
Certainly.
What does somebody like you do for a living?
Oh, I was a part of Rembrandt and Silvers.
Yeah? Sounds like a soft shoe.
No, they're wine merchants.
Oh. What?
Gloria... When you bend back like you do and you drink out of that glass, is that wine you drink?
Oh, of course not. That's only colored water.
Oh. Did you know that the cork in the bottle is sometimes more expensive than the wine itself?
Hmm. You don't say.
Yes, it's imported from Spain, you know. That's what costs the money, you see.
Hmm. What?
Another thing I have wondered about... Is it true that it's bad luck to whistle in a dressing room?
Oh, that's silly. That's a chorus girl superstition. Artists, they don't worry about that.
I see. I'm most grateful that you answered my note this afternoon.
Vincent, why did you send the note to me with those six beautiful Cardoza sisters on the same bill?
I thought them very ordinary girls. They weren't the least beautiful. I'm not beautiful like you.
No? Well, no.
What made you answer my note?
I had three birds this morning.
Birds?
Uh-huh. Tea leaves.
Oh, yes.
It means good luck, you. And then when I got your note, naturally, I took it to Mamie. She does handwriting, too. And she said, you must be a fine gentleman. And otherwise, I wouldn't have answered you because I've never had a blind date before.
Then I'm most grateful to Mamie.
Well, I... Well, I think it's about time we left.
Well, I don't know, Gloria. I see that you have a portable phonograph.
Right,
you travel with that.
That's an old one. It's no good. It doesn't work too well. I've got to have it fixed.
I'm very fond of music, Gloria. What have you got?
It doesn't work, honestly.
Let's try one before we leave.
Hey, Mister, look, now.
What about this one, Moonlight Madonna? Why, that's the music you use in your act.
It's
just play it.
I told you that phonograph doesn't work. Oh, come on. Why didn't you? Well,
you're wrong, Gloria. I see that works fine.
Oh.
You see.
All right, now, come on, I finished my drink. Let's go.
Could we have another one and listen to the record?
No. I've had enough, and you've had enough, too, so let's
Must
get
Must you wear that fur piece?
For your information, Mr. Wise Guy, this fur piece was given to Diane by Mr. Nat Kalsheim of the Morris office and is practically unobtainable on today's market. You just can't get it nowadays. I can wear this anywhere at all.
What I mean, Gloria, is that it doesn't do you justice. Nothing is beautiful enough for a girl with lips.
Don't you touch me.
Oh.
Don't you ever touch me, see?
You shouldn't have done that.
When I was a little girl, one night I was standing in the wings watching Diane, and a stagehand kissed me on the neck, and I just... Well, he's still carrying the scar on his forehead. I took the heel of my shoe, and I hit him. And he... Listen, don't you ever try to touch me again, see? Never.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. We had our wine, and it's 11:15, and we're going to go. We're going right now, you understand?
You didn't hear the rest of this record, Gloria.
You get out. You get out of my dressing room.
I do not want to leave yet,
Gloria. I'll show you, you... Hey! What are you...
It's no use. I have the key.
Bill
is the name of the stage door man that I met coming in. A liberal gratuity, a gentle hint, and he obligingly left you and me alone. Gloria.
And there we were. In the dressing room, backstage in that empty theater. Mr. Hawthorne, his knife, and me.
Bringing you Mr. Charles Lawton and Miss June Havoc in Blind Date. Tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Hey, Hap, listen to this. A letter from my old Arab pal, Hassam Benod, the Karachi camel keeper. Dear Harlow, he says, you win wager. I now have a dozen droopy dromedaries dying for a drink.
What was the wager, Harlow?
Oh, I bet him Autolite Stay Full batteries could go without water longer than his camels.
Oh, no.
Why, sure. And it's like taking candy from a kid. Those Autolite Stay Full batteries need water only 3 times a year. And what's more...
More?
Sure. Autolite Stay Full batteries have more power, are packed with potent pep and punch.
Is that all?
No, there's more. More life insurance. Autolite Stay Full batteries have a fiberglass retaining mat safeguarding every positive plate. So get an Autolite Stay Full battery. Remember, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage... Charles Lawton and June Havoc in Blind Date, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Get out of my dressing room.
There's no reason to be afraid of me, Gloria. You take your wine and sit down and listen to the music. Here.
I don't want it.
Now, why did you do that?
Because I don't want to have another drink here. I want to leave. Unlock that door.
Now, don't you be impatient, Gloria. We'll leave in a minute.
Why can't we leave now? I want to get out for for some fresh air.
You aren't frightened?
No, I'm not.
And why are you...
You promised to take me to Gregory's for supper. I've done 4 shows a day for 6 days, and I'd like to relax. And tomorrow I've got to go... Listen, I'll even change my fur piece, Mr. Hawthorne.
You know, Gloria, loneliness is a terrible thing. You can wander in a city of 1 million people and yet have no one to speak with. And you wander and you think there is no cure for loneliness. And there is a cure. Right. As I watched you there dancing on the stage, I knew that loneliness has a cure. Just a simple kiss will banish loneliness forever.
Well, you're not going to kiss me. I'll tell you that much. I don't care how lonely you are. And I'm sick of this record, too. I wish I'd never answered your note, I'll tell you that much.
But you did answer it, and here we are.
Well, a girl can make a mistake.
No, Gloria, you didn't make a mistake. I'm a humble man, and I apologize to you.
Unlock the door.
I have been studying you, Gloria, ever since I came into the dressing room tonight. There is more to you than just a pretty face.
Oh, that kind of talk doesn't impress me. That kind of talk will get you exactly nowhere. Unlock the door.
Now, what if I told you that you'd successfully passed the test? I really have been testing
you. Oh, yes.
Yeah, when first I saw you 6 days ago, I knew there was a lot more to you than just a pretty face, and that's why I've been to see you dance every day. I wanted to make sure, and I came here tonight to test you.
Well, what do you mean
when
by
that? When I tried to kiss you, that was the test. I had to find out what you were like. A man has to be careful, too, about a girl, I mean. And when you wouldn't let me kiss you, I knew you were someone that I could... Oh, Gloria.
Yeah, I don't get you at all. Now you're almost as if you were going to cry.
I have a confession, Gloria. I have cried a great deal in my life.
Really? Have you really?
A very great deal.
Huh. Well, then, look, now that I've passed your test, you know what kind of a girl I am, don't you?
I know exactly what kind of a girl you are, Gloria.
All right, and then we understand each other.
I know you and you know me.
All right, then, come on, let's put the show on the road.
There is just one thing.
What?
It's your dress.
What? So now it's my dress, is it?
Yes.
First it was with my fur piece, and now it's my dress.
It's a very, very beautiful dress. But before we go out, I would like to see you for the last time in the costume you wear for your act.
Oh, you would. Just what do you think?
I like the green one best with the golden spotlight.
Well, it's not here. I've already sent the trunk to the station.
I don't believe that. What's this, then?
That's my other trunk.
You give me the key, will you?
I will not.
All right, then I'll open it my own way.
No. Put the knife away, will you?
I told you, Gloria, a knife is a very handy instrument. It's a very handy instrument to have.
Stop that. Will you stop that? You're going to break the lock. Get away from that trunk.
Don't you do that. Don't you ever try to take my knife away from me. Don't you ever try to take my knife away from me. I asked you to do a simple little thing. I asked you to wear your costume for me because you look very pretty in it. A simple thing like that would take only a minute of your time. You say it's packed and shipped, but I don't think it is. I'm going to find out what it is. It's
no,
all
no,
right.
I
am going to find out.
There,
I've got it. And here's the dress right on top. Your beautiful green
costume. I won't put it on now, if you hear me. I won't put it on for you or for anybody else. And on top of everything else, you've broken my trunk.
Well,
I just had that luck.
Go behind that screen and put it on.
I will.
Go on.
All right. I'll put it on.
That's a good girl. You know, Gloria, I didn't mean anything by showing you my knife. It's only just that I want to see you. I want to see you exactly as you look when you're performing on the stage. You're so beautiful, Gloria. Your eyes are greener than the sea. You're so lovely. Huh.
And all that isn't going to make me forget that knife or what you've done either.
I'm just a humble man. I'm a human being the same as you are, but I'm only lonely, Gloria. I'm terribly, unendurably lonely.
You've got friends, all
oh,
right.
How does that go? I have no friends, said Lamia, no, not one. My presence in wide Corinth hardly known. My parents' bones are in their dusty urns, sepulchred where no kindly incense burns. Seeing all their luckless race are dead, save me. And I neglect the holy rite for thee. Have you put on the costume?
Yeah. Well, now, here it is. All right, now, you take your look, Mr. Hawthorne. Just... Well?
That's lovely. It is.
All right, then I can...
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, how can you perform without music?
Perform?
Why else would I ask you to put on your costume? You're going to dance for me.
I'm not putting on a special act for anybody. You're not...
You see, you can't imagine the effect that this has on me. It is the way you twist and turn slowly and silently, so slow, so lovely. And so alone. Oh, so very much alone.
Alone? How could I be alone in a theater full of
you
people?
You can be alone in a city of a million people. You had no one in that theater, Gloria, even though it was crowded. And now, here in your dressing room, you have me to watch you, and you can perform for me alone.
Oh. Hey, what's the idea of turning off the lights?
All but the ones around your mirror. You should have your spotlight. You're on stage now. That's for me and no one else.
Oh,
don't you scream again. Don't you scream, whatever you do. That upsets me.
If I do my act for you, if I do it just the way I do it on the stage, only this time just for you, if I do it for you like that, will you please go away?
Yes, Gloria, that's all I want you to do. I just want you to do it as if you were on the stage.
All right, then. Sure. Oh.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's great. Turn it to it. Down. Why can't you do that for me? Why you weren't clumsy in the theater when all those other people were watching?
Sorry, Ernest, I'm sorry. It's such a small room, and when I do my kicks, I can't.
You never mind. You go on, will you?
No,
go on.
No.
That's right.
No. Easy.
Oh, slowly. Slowly. Please remember to do it slowly.
I don't know what you're going to do, and I don't know what it is. I just can't go on to my act anymore. I can't do it. I'm a decent, self-respecting girl. I accepted your invitation. I thought you were going to be nice because of your handwriting. I'm so scared. What you do or say, I just can't see the point. You know, why can't you go away? Why don't you get out of my dressing room and leave me alone? I hate you! I hate you!
You hate me. You hate me. I knew that when I came in that door tonight that you hated me, and I'm accustomed to being hated. And let me tell you something. Every girl with a nice dress and a pretty face hates me, Gloria. I don't care anymore. I was lonely. I went to the theater. I saw you there on the stage. I thought you were beautiful. I thought if I could see you alone in the same costume that you can wear it just for me and perform just for me, that I wouldn't be lonely anymore. That'd be enough. But it isn't enough.
No, don't you come near me. Don't you touch me.
A kiss is the cheapest thing in the world.
No.
A kiss means nothing to you. To me, it means everything.
No,
kiss would cure my loneliness, Gloria.
I'll never kiss you. I think you will. My knife. Oh, please.
Now then, just tilt your head back. That's right. Now.
Vincent, darling.
What'd you say?
I said, what? Darling.
Why did you say that?
What would you say if I really kissed you,
what
huh?
Do you mean?
I mean, you said a kiss means everything to you. Do you want me to really kiss you?
I can't believe it.
Oh, I'd kiss you. Really, I would, but...
What?
No, I'm afraid of your knife.
Do you actually want to kiss me?
Yes, I guess. But the knife scares me.
Oh, I never meant to use that, Gloria. Here, you take it. Now.
Looking for him ever since he left London. They knew all about him. So they let me go. Self-defense. Loneliness is a terrible thing, he said. Well, no matter how lonesome I get, I'll never have another blind date as long as I live.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's stars, Charles Lawton and June Havoc in Blind Date.
Mr. Lawton, if you'll release Miss Havoc from your clutches, I'd like to get her in mine.
From clutches to cliches.
Well, we might say that, yes, Mr.
Lawton. All right, Mr. Wilcox, I'll do that. But I may say that it's being done with a great deal of reluctance, June.
Thank you. Mr. Wilcox, I'll bet you want me to tell you about the Autolite stay-full battery in my car, right?
I surely do, June. What is the woman's slant?
Well, Harlow, women are traditionally supposed to be unaware of an automobile's innards. However, I'm one who wants to know what's in my car.
Well, more women should, for more women drive cars today than ever before.
And an Autolite stay-full battery is my insurance that I'll get to the studio and other appointments on schedule. I get a hurry call, step on the starter, and I'm off.
June, you've got the best car starting insurance there is with an Autolite stay-full battery. It's made by Autolite, makers of over 400 other products for cars, trucks, airplanes, and boats in 28 Autolite plants from coast to coast. Autolite also makes complete electrical systems for many makes of America's finest cars. Batteries, spark plugs, generators, starting motors, coils, distributors. All engineered to fit together perfectly, work together perfectly, because they're a perfect team. So, friends, don't accept electrical parts that are supposed to be as good. Ask for and insist on Autolite, original factory parts at your neighborhood service station, car dealer, garage, or repair shop. Remember, you're always right with Autolite.
Suspense on Tuned 2 yesterday from September 29th, 1949 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of horror on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.